time now for the Todd Leonard Show. Leave those negative stories behind as we focus on the positive and hear from those who give back and help others. Let's start your day with some inspirational stories. Now, here's your host, Todd Leonard.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you so much for waking up and tuning in today. We have a great show once again for you. Before we talk to Chris Russo, a great local resident right here in Morristown, I wanted to dedicate the show again to all the incredible healthcare workers, the first responders, the essential workers. I know we're all getting through this, but, you know, I would be so remiss if I didn't say God bless these incredible heroes, really. You know, sadly, in our great state, over 4,000 loss of lives. Right here in Morris County, we have over 255 poor souls who lost their lives. So God bless them and their families. And together we're going to get through this. But make no mistake about it. You know, this is a critically important time in our history. And I pray for all of us. Chris, good morning, sir. How you doing?
Morning, Todd. How are you? Thanks for having me.
It's great having you on. I appreciate you waking up this morning. You know, last time I saw you, it was back in the normal times in downtown Morristown, right coming out of Starbucks, and there you were. I don't know, do you remember running into me a few months ago?
Of course I do, and you're right. The town looked different then. The whole world looked a lot different back then. But, yeah, I do remember running into you, and I kind of hope we can get back to those times sooner than later.
I totally agree with you. I was thinking about getting ready for the show. It's like it was a strange situation getting ready because it wasn't that long ago. Everybody's just bopping around through Morristown. So, Chris Russo, if you can, sir, tell us a little bit about yourself, since I know you, but a lot of our listeners don't. Where are you from, sir?
So I live in Morristown. I grew up in the area, but I've been actually in downtown Morristown. I actually live right above that Starbucks we were talking about now for 6 years, and I love it here. It's truly my home. I've made roots here. And like I said, I'm kind of hoping to get back to where it was only a few months ago. But that's where I live, and that's where I'm from, that general area.
Are you a Morris County resident originally?
Yeah, so I grew up in Cedar Knolls, one town over. I went to Whippany Park High School. And then I lived in Morris Plains for many years. I went to college in Pennsylvania, but lived in Morris Plains for many years after I was a senior old. And then now I live right in Morristown. So, yeah, I'm a Morris County boy. I'm originally from Rockland County, New York, for the first 5 years of my life. But other than that, you know, I'm a Jersey boy.
Yeah, same here. You know, I was born and raised in Springfield right here in Union County, and over about 25 years ago, we moved into Morris County, and I love it. It's a great bunch of people, and it's diverse, and it has so many great things to offer. And, you know, interestingly enough, I've had a number of guests on recently, and they've doing, you know, really amazing things to lift up the community and say thank you to the first responders and the healthcare workers. And we were talking about Morristown and the evolution. I'm sure from your perspective as well, Morristown has really grown over the years. I mean, you can't go downtown Morristown without marveling at just all the, I'll call it almost a renaissance. So what are your thoughts about Morristown?
So I actually use that word, the same word you just used, a renaissance. Now, depending on who you ask, like I've been involved like politically with Morristown as well in the past, and depending on, some people love it, some people aren't fans. Personally, I do like it. I remember Morristown back in the 80s, and it was nice back then too, but the transition it's made now, I personally, my own opinion is that it's been a great transition. I like the way the town's going. It's essentially turned into a small city that offers something for everyone, from the very young to the older crowd. There's something for everybody. It's turned into a small city, and I love it. So my view of Morristown, I love the way it's been going and the way it's continuing to go. So.
Yeah, no question. I know we talk about Morristown, and I kind of miss, to say the least, getting a bunch of my buddies together, going into Roots, you know, and just hanging out and just enjoying the great neighborhood, you know, feel, even though it's a small city as well. So what kind of work do you do, Chris? What do you do for a living?
So I do two things, actually. So what we'll talk about later, superhero events is my business, if you will. And then I'm also in pharmaceutical sales. So I'm in dermatology sales. I sell a drug for psoriasis. I've been in pharmaceutical sales now for over 13 years, and I've been in dermatology for almost four. So that's what I do.
Oh, interesting. Okay. And obviously we're going to get into really detail the superheroes, and how you started that as well, since it's a wonderful, thought and organization that you were instrumental in bringing for many years already. So let me ask you, you know, in terms of what we're all going through, Chris, How are you holding up in your friends and your family? Because, you know, I tell everyone it's a bit like the Twilight Zone, but sad is it's reality for all of us. I mean, I hope everybody continues to do the social distancing, which is a challenge. I mean, everybody has cabin fever, but there's no question it's really working, flattening the curve. But how are you and your family and friends kind of holding up and getting through these very challenging times?
Well, I appreciate you asking. So we've been very fortunate. Like, other than adjusting to, you know, society, the new society we've been living in, everyone's healthy, everyone's happy, so my family and friends are doing great. But unfortunately, I do know of some people who haven't been so lucky with what's been going on. But other than the adjustments to the society, we've been great on this end. So I really can't complain. We've been very lucky, but I have heard of some that aren't so lucky. How have you been doing, Tom?
Yeah, well, thank you. You know, my wife and our little boys, I mean, we're hanging in there. I mean, it's tough. I mean, for the kids, they're getting homeschooled through the video program. The school system's incredible, but it's not the same. And, you know, it's not easy for all of us. But once again, it could be a heck of a lot worse, and we're all pulling together. And, you know, we see our neighbors from a distance, and we wave, and it's strange because the little kids don't really understand why they can't run around and hang out with each other as much as they want to, but you know, we're doing the best, like all of us. I mean, everybody is my office, people are working remotely, and we're adjusting, and you know, we're making the best of it. But you know, thank you for asking, as well as I'm sure many of the listeners. I mean, you know, we all do the best we can, and that's what I wanted to really touch on, you know, Chris, because I know you care so much about the community as well, is when you realize the gravity of what was going on, and you know, it started in China, then all of a sudden it started a little bit, you know, in our great country, and little by little it got worse and worse, and the numbers are staggering. What was kind of going through your mind as, you know, we realized, all of us, that this is really serious business?
Yeah, so you know what? This whole experience is very surreal. Sometimes it's tough to take in, and, you know, now we've been in this mess for, you know, quite some time. So when I first heard about it, I'll be honest with you, I was kind of like, well, what's going on? How serious is this? And I think a lot of people may have taken that. And then once I really saw what was going on, I'm like, wow, this is, you know, it's a little different than just the seasonal flu. So it kind of hit me when I heard, especially a personal story about, you know, these relatively young, healthy people who are becoming ill. And some of them didn't even make it. So that's when it kind of hit me as a reality. And now going forward, like where we're going, say, and again, you hear from like epidemiologists, virologists about what we should be doing, which is great, the social distancing, the mitigation that we're doing, which is fantastic. And then I also hear from the economists, well, you know, we're going to be hearing more from the economists about what we should be doing, the different stages to open up the country. And look, I'm not an expert in either, and I won't pretend to be, but I think it's good that we have a balance, because as much as we need to, first and foremost, we need to protect everybody, the health of the country, the health of the world. And then second, we also want to make sure we keep the economy as strong as we can. And we also give it a platform to jumpstart once this is all over. And, and keep in mind the people who have lost their livelihoods because of this. So I see the balance there. I feel for everyone involved, not only the people who are sick because of COVID-19, but also the people who have lost their livelihood or are in the process of losing their livelihood because of this whole mess. So it's coming at us from all different directions.
Yeah, I mean, there's no question. I mean, there's some tough political decisions, but once again, I think we got to first make sure we're all safe and we're all going to ultimately get back to hopefully some normalcy sooner than later. I pray as quick as possible. But once again, we have to make sure this disease is totally under control, this virus, before we really start to have some semblance of normalcy, because God forbid we don't want to go backwards either. And I know Governor Murphy's doing an incredible job here. Governor Cuomo right here in New York, as well as all the governors who are committed to the best of their ability to keep us all safe. And then we have, you know, Dr. Fauci and Dr. Birx and so many people really committed to keeping our country safe as well. But these are tough decisions, and I certainly recognize that. And, you know, I was thinking again, Chris, just over and over in my mind, just God bless all of these incredible healthcare workers, you know, the doctors, the nurses, the hospital staff, you know, all of these incredible folks, the first responders, the essential workers, you know, we take it all for granted. We all got to shop, we got to eat, you know, the people in the supermarket setting and all these people. I mean, you know, without them, I mean, what would we do? I mean, I don't know. I mean, I'm thankful we don't have to get there, but it's really striking. So, Chris, let's talk a little bit about now, because the show, you know, I started the show almost 6 months ago to lift people up. So, I mean, obviously everybody's way down right now with the burden of COVID-19, but I want to obviously lift everyone up. That's my goal of the show is to talk about great people doing wonderful things. So let's talk about with you, Chris. You started the Superheroes event. Can you kind of walk us through how that all started, please?
Sure, absolutely. So it makes me feel old talking about it, but we, my business partner, Heather McDermott, and I started the company together back in 2009. And the idea was, so we're both runners. Heather was a phenom Canadian runner, distance runner. I was actually a high jumper and a sprinter in college. I had a pretty good distance career after school. We decided to start this company to put on road races anywhere from our first event was a half marathon. We called it the Superhero Half Marathon. Before we even came up with a company name, we decided on our first race in 2010 being the Superhero Half Marathon. Why did we come up with that name? Our first charity was the Christopher and Dana Reeve Foundation. And not to date myself, but, you know, personally my favorite Superman, Christopher Reeve, was injured in a horse riding accident. So our first charity that we used was the Christopher and Dana Reeve Foundation. And hence we came up with the Superhero Half Marathon. And then it kind of grew into a monster even beyond that. Now we work with numerous charities, you know, all the way up to, you know, national charities down to local charities. And it's become a pretty big thing, and we're proud of it.
Well, you should be. You know, I was researching a little bit for the show, and I also read you were a runner also, I guess, in school?
I was, yep. In college, I was a high jumper.
And not to show off, of course, but I did work out again this morning. I had to be on the top of my game. For the folks that never met Chris Russo, he's a handsome young man, and I had to be on the top of my game. Even though we're not physically here together, I had to feel like I was keeping fit. So I thought you might get a kick out of that, Chris. So I wanted to kind of go over with you. You know, Christopher Reeves also, you know, tragically was paralyzed in a horse situation, using, you know, on a horse, and obviously everybody was devastated because he's a wonderful person, and you really thought he was larger than life as well. But he inspired so many during his life, and his foundation has certainly helped thousands of people. You know, it's an incredible cause. People trying to battle paralysis. I mean, you know, what can you do but do the very best to help those? You mentioned your business partner, Heather McDermott. Now, she was quite an accomplished college runner as well?
She was. Yes. She went to, I believe, was it Western Connecticut? She's Canadian, but then came down on athletic visa and ran to college. She had some, like, really impressive times. I could be wrong on this, and she'll kill me if I am. Hopefully I'm not understating it, but she might have been, like, the fifth-ranked Canadian runner at one point in a specific distance. I don't remember what the distance was, but I could be wrong on that, but she'll correct me later if I am. But she was, like, a phenom. Like, and, she's still running very well to this day.
Well, you called her a phenom, so I don't think she'll be too upset with you, just in case you touted her pedigree a little bit over the top, but that's fine. I don't think that'll be a problem. But in terms of that relationship with Heather, were you guys just friends, and then you just decided to go on to this business venture? How did that all start?
So we were friends first. We met through the running community. She would, like, head up these, like, group runs out of a store in Morristown. I would show up, and I'd go run with him. And, you know, we built a friendship, and then we decided, and she was actually already putting on a race for somebody else. And then we decided, we should do this. It's pretty cool. You get a lot of people out. It's fun. It's even a good business model. So we gave it a shot, and, you know, we got lucky. And fortunately, like, this superhero event has turned into one of the largest racing companies in New Jersey as far as putting on road races. And we range anywhere from 5K distance up to a half marathon.
Have you ever run a marathon?
I've never run a full. The longest I've gone is a half. I know I shouldn't say this as a runner, and I hope runners don't hate me, but I've never had any desire to run a full marathon. but I have done a few halves. I've put up some pretty good times. I just don't have a desire. I listen to people's horror stories about marathons, and I'm like, listen, I'll take your word for it. I don't need to experience it myself.
Yeah, a number of years ago, I was thinking of tackling trying to do a marathon, and then I just got crazy busy with my law firm, and I kind of stopped. And if I'm going to do it, I better get to it as well, because I know you got to put the mileage in if you're going to do it. But one of the things that growing up, I used to watch, the marathons, the New York Marathon, the Boston Marathon, and when the Olympics. And I was just, really struck by just the incredible, athleticism of these athletes who are running 26.2 miles at such an incredibly quick pace. But also in the New York Marathon, with folks just getting to the finish line and what they would endure, and just regular people. I'm not talking about world-class athletes, just regular runners. And it was really striking to me how inspirational that was, because how does that not get you off the sofa a little bit and saying, if they could do it, why can't I do it? But it's really actually very uplifting to watch runners just so all different sizes and shapes get across the finish line. It really is a wonderful thing. So back in, 2009, when you and Heather, started the superhero events, would runners dress up, or how would that work? How would you inspire them with the superhero theme?
So, that's a funny story, actually. So I'd love to take credit for, encouraging them to dress up, but because we had the name Superhero, people did it on their own. It was almost a monster that grew out of our control. We said, look, we'll call Superhero Hat because of the Christopher and Dana Reeve Foundation. Actually, my idea was the Superman Hat, but then Heather's like, you know what, you might alienate some of the population, so we'll call it Superheroes. So we called it the Superhero, and then people just started dressing up. And then from there, at all of our events, we had a Super Bowl race, a St. Paddy's Day race, a Halloween race, but at every race, people were dressing up as superheroes, which was amazing. I mean, it made for great photographs, but even as a spectator, people love coming out to watch because they could see all these people dressed like their favorite superhero. We got some crazy costumes, but it's nothing we even encouraged initially. It just happened. So it was great. It was a good thing that happened. So we got a little lucky.
Now, do you also participate and actually don some kind of outfit and go running?
So, I don't. So I'm the MC of the event. So if you ever come to one of our events, you'll see me on the microphone. I'm there just, blabbing my mouth, cheering everybody over the finish line. But I don't wear a costume. My costume jeans. I might have worn a bedazzled shirt once, and that's a whole other story. But I don't wear a costume, but maybe I should. I should get in the fun with everybody else.
Yeah, I would only imagine you probably look okay with the cape on. Why not? Give it a shot. Maybe the next event. I'm sure the fans would enjoy that as well. So when you started to run the event, would you then take some of the proceeds and donate it to some incredible causes?
Yeah, so as I mentioned earlier, the first cause is the Christopher and Dana Reeve Foundation. We worked with them in 2010, 2011, and 2012. And then we had other chairs approaching us saying, hey, this is great what you're doing. And then we decided to kind of branch off, and eventually we just used other charities. And they said, we used the Christopher Dana Reeve Foundation for 3 years. We had a good, great partnership with them. And then we went with other charities, including some of the local ones. Well, also the national ones, like Leukemia Lymphoma Society, American Cancer Society. Those were the big national ones we would work with. But then some of the small, like the local chapter of Meals on Wheels, Jersey Battered Women's Services, the Community Soup Kitchen right here in Morristown, the CNI, which is Morristown's claim to fame. We worked with them 1 year. We actually had a specific race just for them. It was called Run for the CNI. And over the course of now a decade, we've directly and indirectly, and I go into what that means, there's been hundreds of thousands of dollars raised for all these charities I mentioned, and then some, including schools. We partnered with Morristown High School. They come out and volunteer the kids, and then we'll write a check to their booster club or something affiliated with their sport team or their high school. So we also work with the high schools, Rich High School, Morristown High School, and it's been a great relationship over the years with all these different organizations. We're thankful that we do have this close community, and everyone is helping everybody, so it's fantastic.
So for the listeners this morning and for folks that I want to reach out to, because I have a podcast, and for those listening, they can always visit the ToddLeonardShow.com for really a compendium of ongoing podcasts. And I'm really proud about that. I'm working hard to hopefully lift up the community when they listen to the show. How would they reach you, Chris, and your wonderful causes?
So they can reach me a couple of different ways. They can reach me if they want more information on Facebook. I mean, they can just find me, Chris Russo, Morristown, or they could go to Superhero Events on our Facebook page, and they can get information there about what we do. Instagram, also Superhero Events, or they can just find me, Chris Joe Russo, CHRISNOERUSSO. And we have our website, superheroracing.com, www.superheroracing.com. And there's also a number on that website. If you call that number, it'll go directly to me. So I'd be happy to talk with anyone who wants to learn more about what we do. If you want to come out for a race, the more the merrier. We'd love to have you. Once we get through this mess and we get back to normal, you know, we plan on going, pedal to the metal. So we'd love to have you.
And listen, when we get back to normal, sir, I would love to meet you out at Roots for a tasty refreshment, because Lord knows there's going to be a number of thirsty patrons in the area. So, believe me, I'm ready. There's going to be a line out the door. So let's, if I may, I wanted to go over this. So like in 2010, you and Heather came up with this incredible idea, and you get involved with the Christopher Reeves organization. What was their response when they realized, you're going to be donating some of the proceeds to them? Did you have some interaction with some of those folks in the foundation?
So, yes, we did. We worked with people directly in the foundation, but what inspired us to use a paralysis foundation was not, I mean, even though it was the Christopher Dana Reeves Foundation, one of my good friends who actually owned a restaurant in Morristown, at Pago Pago, it's currently closed, it's been closed for a few years, but she was a victim of, she was a spinal cord injury back in 1998, and I'm very close with her. So that inspired me to, go to a charity associated with spinal cord injuries. And the Christopher and Dana Reeves Foundation was the first one that came to my head. And then we worked directly with them. We had a contact there that we worked with, and they would come out to the race with maybe some volunteers. And then we would just, we'd write them a check at the end of the day, and we were proud to do it.
You know, it's interesting. I know you didn't mention Ashley by name, but I actually know Ashley as well. A little funny anecdotal story. I actually met my wife there. Which I'm sure you do, Pazzo Pazzo was quite a hot spot back in the day in Morristown. And I was out with my really great friend, Mr. Luck, my neighbor. And lo and behold, I met my future wife there in the back patio area. So,
Well, what's funny, Todd, is that I know Pazzo very well because when I first graduated college in 2002, I waited tables there from May of 2002 to January of 2004.
Interesting. So, yeah, so Ashley, a beautiful young lady, and, she was sadly injured and was paralyzed, and, certainly anybody that would go to Pazzo Pazzo would see her. She was a regular, since she owned the place, and she was certainly very active there, and that's a beautiful thing that you were able to develop a relationship and realize how important it was to help people who sadly were injured and were paralyzed and to raise funds for it. So when you and your partner started and you started to see the benefit of running superhero events and giving back, did you start to feel that the importance of giving back, or did you even know about the importance even before that time?
So, that's a great question. And look, for the time we were very young, my parents instilled good values in me about the importance of giving back to the community, and I did volunteer work when I was young. In college, I did some volunteer work, but then I didn't realize how much of an impact it could make. It wasn't to the scale like it was once we got the superhero event. So it might have been a combination of both of what you said. Like I knew the importance of giving back to a community, but I didn't know, how much, to the extent of, how much you could reach and lend your support. And this kind of made me realize that maybe a couple years into what we were doing. So.
Yeah, no, it's wonderful. I mean, certainly, hopefully the show inspires folks to get involved and to give back and be part of the community. And when you started to kind of go over the different organizations you've been so involved in to raise funds through superhero events, it turns out a lot of them are just local organizations. And I think that is so important to be part of the fabric of the community. And you must have met some wonderful people along the way. So in terms of that, was that something you and Heather had discussed? I mean, obviously you work with some big national organizations, but a lot of these are just local grassroots that are, you know, vitally important to the community. Was that something you and Heather had discussed?
Yeah, so we would discuss it, and remember Heather may have had a friend that worked with, say, the soup kitchen, and then these organizations were fantastic. There was a woman who worked there who now has sadly passed, Marla. We worked with her, and we said, hey, would you mind, we work with you guys' charity. Would you guys provide a few volunteers to help us? They showed up with 75 people. We had so many volunteers, which is a good problem to have. We didn't know it's doing all these people, but it was amazing how these organizations, not only are they helping people to feed people every day, but then on a cold day, they come out to a race, and they help us. And they bring more than enough people. So it just goes to show the kind of person that's working with these charities. Like, they go out of their way to help people. Like, we ask for 7 people, and they bring us 70. You know, this is unbelievable. So it's amazing how people come together, and they work well when it comes to a good cause.
There's no question about it. I mean, I've been blessed to be involved with the Special Olympics basketball program for over 20 years. And I've come in contact with just some incredible people. I mean, just so involved to help others in need. And they don't do it for a pat on the back or the accolades. They're just good people. I mean, these are people that just care deeply of really lifting people up. And it's always, in my mind, it's just a great feeling to be around people like that. So when you and Heather would have these events and you would be involved in the local community, what kind of feedback are you getting from the local, you know, community organizations?
So they love it. They say, oh, when's the next race? Can we be involved in, and we do numerous races a year. Can we be involved in the next race? Or when's the next time we're going to see you? And sometimes the next event, we would have a different charity associated with it. But we said, don't worry, this time next year, we'll have you back again. They couldn't wait to do it. And some of these races, I mean, look, they become almost a job for us where they're setting up tents and, you know, it becomes like a repetitive. It's like work. But they love it. They come out there. They're handing out water. They love, you know, turning on their runners. Like, they're amazing. Like, not only are they, like, you know, helping us get ready for the race, but then they're there yelling at the runners saying, good job, keep it up, do your thing, you look great. So they make great spectators and cheerleaders also. So, and afterwards, they're very thankful for the relationship that we have. It's mutual. We're thankful to have them. They're thankful to have us. And then we just look forward to the next year. And even with the town itself, we work well. Morristown and Morris Township have been very supportive of us putting on these races. The community has. I mean, look, we understand that sometimes they're inconvenienced when we clog up their roads and have to wait to get off their streets because the police are blocked and the runners coming through. So we understand that can be a hassle for the community. They all get behind it, and we're thankful for that. So.
Yeah, I mean, you've been involved with, like, the Sing-I Community Soup Kitchen, Meals on Wheels, the Jersey Batters Women's Services. I mean, these are great organizations. I love the fact, Chris, you've been so involved in raising funds and raising awareness for these organizations, because these organizations need donations. They need to be really well publicized, and they're doing really God's work helping the community in need. And I think that certainly you and Heather, that's just wonderful. You're giving back in terms of raising awareness and funds for the organizations. So you've been doing it. It's almost, I guess, like a decade of big involved. And what's the evolution? Is it growing your great superhero events?
So that's a good question. So we actually, if you really want to get technical, we peaked in 2014. That's a combination of, if anything else, it's cyclical. You know, these races, they get bigger, they get smaller, you know, more get added to the mix. But in 2014, we peaked. And then since then, we've actually declined a little bit, but we're hoping to come out of that part of the cycle and move our way back up. But we're still huge. We're still doing very well. Not complaining at all. But we actually peaked around 2014. We're hoping to get back to those numbers pretty soon. But other than that, the whole decade's been a blast. It's been a great decade, and we've gotten tons of runners at all.
No question. I have a feeling the best is yet to come for superhero events. So, Chris, we're going to take a very short break, and we're going to be back in 30 seconds. Please come back.
Sure.
The Todd Leonard Show is sponsored by the Leonard Foundation, whose mission is to support the children and families who are battling pediatric cancer and those in need of food and assistance, women's shelters, and other important social services in the community. They also proudly support those fighting pancreatic cancer. They feel it's vitally important to help those in need in our amazing community when they need us the most. Please join them in extending a helping hand and go to leonardcharity.org and donate now. Together, we can touch many lives.
Welcome back. Thank you so much for joining us with Chris Russo, great young man right here in Morristown. Chris, before I talk about what you're doing to help the community following COVID-19, I had to bust your chops a little bit and just bear with me. Because I'd asked you, you know, I sent you a little bit of an outline, and I asked you about your involvement with Morristown, and we talked about your commitment to superhero events. But I understand you actually threw your hat into the political arena in 2015. What was that like?
So it was a great experience. I'm happy I did it. I got to meet a lot of people in the community who I haven't met yet. And to be honest with you, depending on how the cards fall, I'm thinking about doing it again in 2021. So next year, running for council, maybe. It depends. It depends. I do, of course, relationship with the people in the council now. I think they're all doing a fantastic job. But I might consider running again in 2021, if I'm foolish enough. No, I'm just kidding. Maybe. We'll see. But I enjoy it. It was great to be. And if you could do things to help the town, and if you have a vision for the town, you can help be part of that, I think it's a great thing.
I think it's wonderful for you to throw your hat in the arena. A lot of people want to do something like that, but they're afraid, or they just don't want to take a potential chance of not winning a particular office. But I think that to your credit and character, you threw your hat in the ring. And even though you lost, you learned so much. You met so many wonderful people, and a lot of people in politics, they don't always win, but they keep on bopping along, and before you know it, they win, and their political career grows. You know, in fact, I was thinking of my late dad when we lived in Springfield. He ran for mayor, and even though we lost, it was a pretty close election. I remember, in fact, years later, he had the bottle caps as one of those things they would hand out. That's when people would get the sodas delivered way back in the day, but and he learned so much, and I was so proud about how he handled it. And that's part of life. You win, you lose, and you do your best, but you meet a lot of people. And to your credit, and I do hope, if you're so inclined, to try it again, I think that's something I think you'll be successful in. So Chris, I wanted to talk with you about COVID-19 and about the community. So you're obviously very involved in Morristown. I think the listeners and myself certainly learned a lot about that and what you've done in terms of your philanthropic endeavors and being part of the community. So what went through your mind when you realized the gravity of it? And we have one of the best medical facilities in the state at Morristown Memorial. I mean, they're great. We got St. Clair's in Dover and Denville, a lot of other great hospitals in the area. We got St. Barnabas, you know, you got all these wonderful facilities, University, Newton Hospital, all the hospitals, Hackettstown, all the hospitals in the area. What was your reaction when you realized, wait a minute, you know, we're right here in a battle. It's really a war for those who really want to be straight on about it. We're in a battle, I mean, for our lives. I mean, for everyone's lives. I mean, I shared with the listeners, sadly, right here in Morris County, 255 people sadly have lost their life, and 4,000 in our great state. So what were you thinking about when you kind of realized the gravity of it and what you could do?
So it really did hit me, you know, across the face like a ton of bricks. I've been hearing a lot about the first responders, the medical staff, let's say at Morristown Medical Center, the hospital there, which, like, you're right, is the best in the state, and all the other facilities around here are fantastic as well. I was thinking about them saying, well, these people are working around the clock, working their shifts, putting themselves at risk to help other people, which is a beautiful thing. And then they're also, then they go home to their family, their kids, their spouse, and thinking, wow, these people are really doing a lot of stuff, and I hope they're getting, you know, the credit they deserve and the acknowledgement that they deserve. And that's when Heather and I thought, you know, we have the superhero app coming up next month, which we decided to cancel and turn into a virtual run. instead. So that way people, they go and upload their time, and it's very simple. But we decided to make a donation. And the local restaurant, who I don't know if you've been following them on social media around here, they've been fantastic, getting food out to the medical staff. We made a donation to 4 different restaurants, which would go directly, the entire amount for these restaurants for food. For the people at Morristown Medical Center, and they would just deliver these meals. We would show up at the hospital, and they'd show up with these bags of all different kinds of food in there. We worked specifically with Chef Freddy's Table, right here in Morristown. The Morristown Bagel and Deli, and Columbia Inn in Montville, and then the third one was Millie's Old World Meatballs. And they've been great. Wrote them a check, and they took that check, made food, and brought it to us. And they do it sporadically. They said we wrote a total of $15,000 worth of checks to these restaurants, and they spread it out over the weeks, and they deliver food to these hospitals for those people on the front lines who have been doing an incredible job. And it takes a lot of bravery. I mean, they were already brave to be in that profession. Now they're just really showing what they're made of because of what's going on.
Oh, there's no question about it. I've been privileged. We had a few guests, Miss Beata, Shannon Steet. So Shannon was involved to, you know, Feed the Front Lines, and Jay and Melissa from Morris Township was, you know, really involved. Melissa Spiata was part of the flag in Morristown. And what was really uplifting is folks are realizing the dedication of the hospital staff, the doctors and nurses, the folks that are working out of there, the first responder community. And it's really heartwarming to see everybody pulling together. That's one of the things that I always, you know, Chris, I try to be very positive. I mean, we all have to kind of be realistic, but we always got to try to find the silver lining. It's really a beautiful thing to see community activists, people coming together, people like yourself, you know, Melissa, you know, Shannon Steets, and just local folks, grassroots. You go on Facebook. A lot of people are on Facebook, to say the least, right now, especially with working remotely. And it's beautiful just to see people coming up and you know, I'm watching Morristown Medical Center and the food getting delivered and shots of the hospital staff of how happy they are to say thank you. But the other thing, and I've been talking about this recently, it's the families of the first responders, the hospital workers, you know, the essential workers. They're also putting their lives on the line because their loved ones are out in the field, so to speak. And, you know, sadly, they could contract COVID-19. So I think that's wonderful. So you were able to raise $15,000, and one of the things, Chris, too, is supporting the local restaurants. Why did you feel that was so important?
Well, I think it's important for a couple of reasons. First reason is, I mean, obviously the funds were going for the medical staff, but also these restaurants are great. And these restaurants are also, I mean, well, businesses in general are hurting, but these restaurants, people aren't going to dine out. And that's their livelihood. That's how they survive. Now, granted, people are still doing curbside pickup, but they're able to take these funds, prepare meals, and deliver them to the hospital. So it's a win-win. We also want to see our local businesses do well, and the restaurants, even more so than other businesses, are hurting. And I think it's important to keep them active, keep them busy, and even the exposure they've been getting from this. And when people say, oh, yeah, I know that restaurant. Oh, they're doing a great thing. I want to order from that restaurant tonight. So it's just great, and like, that's the beautiful thing. I mean, social media has many bad aspects to it, but this is a good aspect. When people can share their thoughts, share their experiences, see what these people are doing to help one another, and then people will go and patronize their establishment, or not actually go inside, but you know what I mean. They'll grab the food and leave. So I think that's great. So I think it's a win-win for everybody. So I like to see that.
So what is the feedback from the heroes? You know, my office, we're running the last few days in the Daily Record. Just, you know, God bless the first responders, the healthcare workers, they're our heroes. I mean, that's just the bottom line. I mean, what else can you just say? A profound, deep gratitude for what they're doing for us. And I got a call actually from a very nice local resident and saying, wow, that was so nice of you. And I'm thinking to myself, it's the least we can do is to say thank you. And I hope they hear it loud and clear, just a profound thanks from the entire community for what they're doing. And And I know you're similarly, you know, doing so much to lift up the spirits of those heroes. What's the feedback you're getting from the hospital and the restaurants?
So it's good. For the restaurant, they tag me in a lot of their stuff now, what they're doing with the food. Not what we've done with them, but what they're doing with other organizations. And even from the hospital, there's a picture that was sent to me of a bunch of medical staff at Morristown Medical Center taking a picture with the food, specifically the food that we donated to the restaurants that have donated. The money that we donated to the restaurants and then to prepare the food, they took a picture that was sent to me. It was so heartwarming. The people, you know, all these medical staff with their masks on, with the bag that had our logo on it. And they were eating, you know, and again, that's the least we could do for them. Like they're so grateful for getting that, but meanwhile, it should be the other way around. Like, we're the ones who should be grateful. Like, wait, you're just having a meal. You know, you're out there every day putting yourself and your family, your loved ones, your friends at risk as well to help people. So that's the least we could do, you know. So that's how I feel about it.
And that's why I was so happy to have you on today, Chris, besides the fact I told you a few times I would drag you on the show. Not physically. You're a little bigger than me, but, you know, I would still hopefully have you on the show. But the reality is we are in this together, and it's so important to say thank you. I know those are two words, but I think it means something in this day right now that we're living in, you know, that a profound thank you. In terms of the restaurants, and because you live in Morristown, you've been living here for a number of years, and you care deeply about the community. The restaurants, what's their overall feel? I mean, how are they doing? I mean, you have probably your fingertip on the pulse of a number of these local eateries. What's their sentiment right now?
So the ones I've worked with specifically, they're smiling. You know, I stop in occasionally. I see, I'll order myself. Like I stopped at Chef Freddy's the other day to pick up takeout, and I asked them, how you guys doing? They're smiling. They're like, yeah, we're out there doing our thing. We're so fortunate to have, you know, the opportunity to help these people. So I mean, again, I don't look at their books. I don't see their financials, but no matter what's going on for them, they're smiling through it. They're happy to help, you know, especially the people at Chef Freddy. They're constantly smiling, you know, always in a good mood. They're like, yeah, this is great. Thank you. And thank you so much for this donation. We can't wait to help these people. So whatever's going on behind closed doors, when I see them, they're smiling and they're grateful and they seem to be happy.
So if our listeners today hopefully are, you know, certainly feeling inspired. If they wanted to reach you again, Chris, how would they go out to reach you and talk about what they can also do to help the local businesses and to obviously help Morristown Medical, St. Clair's, you know, the wonderful medical facilities in the area?
Yeah, they can reach me at, I think, if they want to find me on social media, Facebook, put in Chris Russo, my name, and Morristown. On Instagram, they can put Chris Joe Russo, Chris, J-O-E, Russo. Or they can do superhero events on Instagram or Facebook. Just type in superhero events, you'll see our company. Or go directly to our website, www.superheroracing.com. And on that website, there'll be a phone number. You call that number, it'll go directly to me.
Now, do you think, because I, you know, when I bring people on, I always like to have them reflect and have an opportunity. Did you think by doing your superhero events back starting in 2010 that you would use those skills today to make a difference, really? And I'll call it, it's a worldwide emergency, really, is what we're facing. But, you know, certainly local, it's a state emergency. Do you think you'd use those skills and have the opportunity in 2020, you know, in March and April to use those abilities and skills to help the community?
So, no, not at all. A lot of us could have ever imagined something like this would happen, so no. And I'm happy I'm able to at least contribute a little bit. I mean, I can see what we're doing, a very small contribution compared to what some others are doing. But no, to answer your question clearly, no. I would never expect us in 2009, 2010, come 2020 in this situation. No, I wouldn't have expected that at all.
So in terms of how you were able to get yourself involved in helping out, you know, the heroes locally, was it something that you just, it like popped into your head, like, wait a minute, I can do something? Like, what was the evolution of realizing we're in an emergency, we got to do something to thank everyone? What was it that kind of, like, triggered that thought process?
Well, really, the idea, we all hear what's going on in the news. The medical staff are inundated with or overwhelmed with what's going on. People say not enough beds, not enough this, not enough that. But they're still going to work. There's not, I mean, not only are they taking care of COVID-19 patients, they're still doing their regular job. They're taking care of everybody else who's going to the hospital. So this is just one more added piece of stress for them. So, we hear about it on the news, and finally, we donate to many great charities over the years. Now is the perfect time to donate to something like this. It's constantly in our faces, on 24/7 news cycle, what these poor people are going through. So it's like, let's try to help a little bit and, give our small contribution back to these first responders.
No, there's no question. I mean, you turn on the news or you go on social media. I mean, it's beyond a heartbreak. The heroic hospital staff is basically spending the last vitally important days in people's lives basically being like instead of the family themselves, because they're not permitted into the setting because of this horrible virus. And they're just doing so much. I mean, the family, they do these FaceTimes and talk about a heartbreak. The family can't even physically be there. And that's why I think it's so incredible, Chris, what you're doing is not only helping the local restaurants, but more importantly, nothing against the local businesses. I love the local business, but you're also like, here you're feeding the heroes, the hospital workers. It's just incredible. The nurses, the doctors, the hospital staff, the first responders. It's a wonderful thing to do. What does that make you? How do you feel inside? I mean, when you go to a local business, and then you go on social media and you see directly like a hands-on, like a direct relationship between getting money together, getting meals, helping a business, and then getting it to the heroic folks in the hospital setting. I mean, how does that make you feel inside?
It makes you feel great. I mean, it's great to see that, and she, it's great to see. It's great. I mean, that's the only word I can think of. On top of my head, great. It feels fantastic. It's a nice thing. I see what we're doing now, and I hope if one good thing comes out of this, and I hope we don't forget it. Cause I remember after 9/11, you may remember this very well too, Tom. After 9/11, people came together, and everyone was so nice to each other, friendly. Hey, how are you? And then we kind of forgot about that. It became like old news. I hope after this happens, after this, people have been so kind toward each other. I hope we don't forget that. And when things do go back to normally again, hopefully sooner than later, we still maintain that gratitude and that being kind aspect.
I have to tell you, I remember 9/11, sadly, like it was yesterday. I passed a beautiful memorial right on Hanover Avenue. I guess that's Parsippany, and it's a beautiful memorial. I mean, Lord knows, how could you not pass it and be moved emotionally? But I remember the unity in our country when President Bush, when he stood on the rubble at 9/11 and he said, "We hear you," with the bullhorn. I mean, that moved me. I still watch it. I mean, but there was a unity in our country, and I have to tell you, it's sad, and I have to tell you this. I'm not a politician. I call Boston Strikes the way I see it. I wish we had that unity, and I don't see that unity. And to me, that's not good leadership. We have to be together right now. There's no reason for partisanship. And I think that's really depressing in a way that our country can't put partisan stuff behind and just focus on bringing the country together and unifying it. And, but I do see, on a bright note, I do see the beauty of people coming together, not letting politics get in the way, and people like you and people giving back and saying God bless to first responders and the hospital staff. And that's what it's all about right now. We can always nitpick and find other faults, but right now we have to come together as a country. And really, I get emotional talking about it because you bring up that 9/11, and that's what really healed the country. Right now, we're in a battle. There's going to be time to point fingers, but right now we have to be unified, one voice. which is
right.
We're getting through this, not trying to pick each other apart, not belittling each other. Let's just get through this, you know, and you know, once again, I mean, I think that's what it's all about, because when you do go on social media, and it really lifts your spirits when you see the beauty of our country pulling together. But when I see the bickering right now in a national crisis, it's certainly something that I wish was not going on, and I hope that people still can pull together, because I know we are, but it becomes a big distraction.
I'm with you. I agree totally, Tom.
Yeah, it sounds like I'm running for office, but I'm not.
I was just saying, that was a good platform you had right there. You should make sure you that sounded pretty good, actually.
Well, I think it's a lot of people feel the same way, to be honest. But so in terms of kind of where we are today, you know, Chris, what is your sense of the current needs of the community, you know, Morristown Medical, the hospitals, the restaurants? Do you have some observations on what's going on right now, their current needs?
So, you know, I was actually at Morristown Medical Center standing outside, just watching some of the food get delivered. But as far as the current need of what's going on in-house, if I said anything, I'd be lying. I don't know exactly what's going on. I don't really have anyone, in direct contact with a lot that's a first-line responder. So I don't know what the direct need is. I'm hoping now that, you know, it looks like, in the country overall, we've kind of maybe jumped over, you know, we plateaued, and maybe we've even come over the plateau, starting to come down. So I'm hoping, and again, I'm not an expert. I don't know if that's true. But if it is, I'm hoping this will at least alleviate some of the tension on these healthcare workers. And hopefully it's downhill from here, no more uphill battle. That's what I'm hoping for. But again, I don't know, but that's why I hope. That's why I hope it's going on.
Right. So in terms of the restaurant and their current situation, I mean, obviously a lot of restaurants, if they're going to try to remain in business, they have to pivot and do curbside and do pickups. What's your sense of what's going on in terms of the local restaurants? And, you know, obviously when this God willing passes much sooner than later, and we all can go down, you know, into Morristown and all the community areas that we enjoy, wherever it might be in our great state and our country. What's your sense right now with the restaurants, how they're holding up? I know you know a lot of the local restaurants. What's your sense of the vibe?
So the vibe, when I talk to them, they seem happy. They seem to be very grateful for business, too. Like, I've ordered a lot from in-town. I even order them out of town, like Denville. And when you call to order food, they're like, oh, thank you so much. And some people will actually deliver to you. And then, look, I always make sure that, you know, I'm giving them a very nice tip on top of it. You know, not that I'm patting myself in the back, but I just do a little bit more for these people because they're not getting the same business they were. And the delivery guy who's coming, you know, I go out of my way to do a little bit more than maybe you usually would. But the vibe I get is pretty good. Like, they're still smiling. You know, thank you so much. We appreciate it. We'll see you soon. So, the vibe, again, I don't know what's going on behind closed doors, but the vibe I'm getting when I see it, it seems like they're doing great. You know, I don't know if that's the case, but they're smiling, they're grateful, so that's what I'm seeing.
Well, certainly we all hope that everyone's going to get through this and do well. I mean, certainly that's what communities do. They pull together. They lift each other up. So in terms of the volunteers you've come in contact with over the last 10 years, but especially more recently, what's your feelings of the importance of these relationships that you're building?
With volunteers?
Yeah, with volunteers.
You know, I think it's good because it's, and like, a lot of our volunteers are even high school kids. They'll come and, a lot of times they're doing it for credits that they get so many hours. Like when we were kids, when you're in high school, you got so many hours to get your, to get credit for something. So, but it's good, and I understand they have to do it. They guys, sometimes I get it, they don't want to get up at 6:30 on a Sunday morning to go help out with a race. But it's good that, you know, when they're there, though, they realize, well, this isn't that hard. It's a good time. We're seeing people dressed up there running. And even though it's almost like a job for them sometimes, they still look at it. They're saying, wow, I'm actually helping. I'm helping a cause. And so even though it's kind of sometimes mandatory volunteering, they still get something out of it and then go back. It's a learning experience for them. And some of the volunteers are older. They come out. They love it. They can't wait to get out. But either way, just people helping people, and that's it. You know, it's great to build relationships with them. We smile, we laugh, we know we're out there doing something good, and hopefully it's not raining outside, and it's a sunny day, and that's it. So we just, you know, kind of, we just take it for what it is.
So, Chris, before we conclude, this has been a great show, and I really appreciate you waking up and joining us. You have some advice for the listeners about getting involved in whatever causes they might have an interest in?
Unfortunately, we live in a world now where, information is very accessible. So if there's a cause that's close to your heart, you know, whether it's COVID-19 or something completely different, you go on your research and just put just a quick search, how can I help? And whether it's donating a small amount or actually involving yourself in volunteer work, it's pretty easy to find this stuff. And if you have any questions, feel free to reach out to me, and I can help you through it. Even if it's something that's completely unrelated to what I do, I'd be happy to see if I can do some research and find, and help you out a little bit. But that's all you got to do. Go online and say, how can I help, and put whatever cause it is that's most important to you.
Yeah, there's no question. There's so many different things out there. There's so many ways you can give back and lift others and help the community. I mean, you mentioned social media. That's one of the good things about social media. There's a lot of bad stuff about it, but one of the good things is you do see the beauty of the humanity of people helping others in need, especially in a crisis. Chris, before I let you go, do you have any, thoughts you'd like to share with, the heroic first responders and the healthcare community right now?
I would just say, guys, you guys do a fantastic job. Keep your head up. We'll get through this, as I said before, hopefully sooner than later. But you guys deserve all the respect you're getting and then some. And after this is over, my hope is that people still remember this, what you guys did. And next time they go in just for a regular doctor visit or they're going in for some kind of elective surgery, they remember that when they look at you, what you went through during this pandemic. So that's what I'd have for all the men and women out there right now that are on the front lines, all those medical staff.
And also, like we just touched on a little while ago, is the feeling of togetherness and unity. Hopefully that will continue when this pandemic passes. You know, my late dad, he was an incredible person. My mom, I was blessed beyond words with incredible parents. But my parents, unfortunately, had some medical issues near the end of their lives. And my dad always said the nurses were angels. And today, more than ever, that resonates with me. The nurses, the doctors, these are incredible people that are just have God's gift, and they give back and they keep on going. I'm seeing online, people, they had COVID-19, the medical providers, they beat it. They're back at work. I mean, that's like dedication beyond words. I mean, talk about putting your life on the line. But, Chris, I want to say God bless you. You're a wonderful guy. I do hope to see you out and about soon, hopefully under better circumstances. But I know we are going to get through this. So God bless you. Keep on doing what you're doing. You have a great future, and just believe in yourself. And I think great things will continue to happen for you. So thank you for joining us, Chris.
Todd, thank you so much. You keep doing your thing, too, and we'll talk soon.
Absolutely. So before we end the show, I just wanted to once again just say God bless the healthcare folks, the first responders. We also can't take for granted the people that work at the supermarkets, the delivery folks. I mean, it's so important for our society to have folks doing what they're doing right now. And I do think we have to pull together. I do think we have to say God bless and thank you so much. I love the fact that we have a society that does come together, especially in times of need. And my prayer is that even when we get through this, we continue to be a together society to lift each other up, because we need that. We need that more than ever right now, is to pull together as a country and to be there for each other, to find causes that inspires. If you know folks that are in need, lend a hand up. Right now, there's senior citizens that are alone, they're scared. There's people that are not senior citizens that are alone and scared. Pick up a phone. Have a FaceTime, meeting with someone. Lift up their spirits. Ask them, are you okay? How are you doing? Because we all need to lend a hand up. Now's the time to be kind to each other. If there's ever was a time, this is the time. So I say God bless everyone. I want you to pull together. I want you all to take a deep breath again. We're going to get through this together. So God bless you. I hope you tune in next week. Visit Todd Leonard, toddleonardshow.com. We have some great episodes. If you want to listen to that, please. And if you know anyone that's truly making a difference, Anyone that's lifting the community up, there's so many heroes out there. Please tell them to reach out to my office at 973-920-7900. I would be honored to have them on the show, because this is what the show's about, is bringing people together and talk about all the great things that are happening. So enjoy the rest of today. Look forward to you tuning in next week. Take care.